Prepare to be amazed by Stan and the Coach.
Good evening once again. This is Power Prep Sports, Stan the Coach, coming to you tonight with another special guest. But as usual, always with me here is the original, the Coach, Coach Greg Ennis. Coach, how's things going, man?
With that lead-in music, I mean, yeah, it's going great.
Well, as you can see right here, I have been watching some wrestling. I don't know if you can see that. The ring behind
me. I pulled up some old Dothan
Championship wrestling
on YouTube. And watched some of it. It was great.
Just saw a Legends match between Austin Idol and the original Junkyard Dog Norvell Austin.
Did he have Punk on the
No, that's the other Junkyard Dog, but
I don't remember him.
Well, you're gonna have to look and go back to YouTube and look up Norvell Austin.
Or exactly how you spell that.
I don't know how you spell Norvell, but get close right there. Hey, Coach, we got a first tonight. We got the new head football coach at Zion Chapel. We got Cody Keene, who's going to be joining us here shortly. I know he's excited to be getting down to Jack, Alabama. And
he was previously at Russell County, right?
Right. He's been the offensive coordinator at Russell County, which is a much larger school than Zion Chapel, but I don't think that'll be a big hindrance for him. I think he's worked at a number of different places and different classifications. Let's go ahead and see if we can get Coach on right here. Hey, Coach Keene, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Awesome. How's things in Russell County?
Right now it's cooling off, but other than that it's been fine. We had some rain this week. Right now I'm still handling the AD role there at Russell County High School, and but fortunately we have a turf field, so we've been able to play. So baseball has been able to go on this week. So,
and you getting ready to make a transition?
Yes, sir.
Well, I know we talked about transitions. Russell County down to Zion there in Small Jack, Alabama, probably going to be not just transitioning with athletics, size of school and number of athletes, but probably where you're going to go find some milk and some bread to feed them youngins.
Well, yeah, so if you've never been to Seal, Alabama, there's not much more in Seal than there is in Jack. Now, Phoenix City's pretty close, but so is Troy, and so is Enterprise to Jack.
That's
so
right.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, in Seal, Alabama, if you go to the grocery store and get milk, it'll clatter before you get back.
I don't know about that, Coach. Well,
it's out there.
It's way out there. Well, Coach King, kind of tell us an outline of what you got planned. I know you're still at Russell County. As far as maybe some times you can get down and get started and hit the ground running at Zion.
Yes, sir. It's part of my plan to get there as quick as I can. You know, I was speaking with you earlier in private. So, you know, as long as it suits my family and doesn't put a burden on my family, then I'm going to get there as soon as I can. We have some young children. I got a 3-year-old son and 2 daughters. One's 2 and one's 3 months. So if we can get something worked out where, you know, I feel comfortable and that my family's taken care of, then, yeah, I'm going to go hit the ground running. If not, I'll be in and out through the spring. I'm going to go down over my spring break that week, and that's only a couple weeks away. Spend some time down there. Already went and met the boys. Had a good meeting with them, kind of a little meet-and-greet type deal. That was about a 10-minute deal, kind of laid the thought process that I want to go in with. And, you know, that went well on Friday. I have a lot of familiarity with them because really and truly at a 2A, you know, once you hit seventh grade, you're with the varsity program, whether you're playing, you know, junior high during the week or those type things, you're practicing, you'll be with us at practice every day. And so from that perspective, I was at Zion 3 years ago, and so I know a lot of the seniors and the juniors and those type things. So even the sophomore quarterback, Mason Stewart, he'll be a junior next year. One of the better players, more productive players, I should say. Last year, I knew him as a seventh grader. You know, my wife had him in her history class there at Zion when he was young. And so there's a lot of familiarity there. There's a lot of people there that I know. All the coaches on staff, you know, already know him. So I'm good friends with the former head coach, Randy Bryant. So when we cross paths in Montgomery at AHSAA conference or All-Stars week during the summer, I'd sit and eat lunch with those guys. One of them who coaches football, he's an assistant football coach, but the head basketball coach, Josh O'Neill, he came from Russell County. So I actually crossed paths with him when I was coming into Russell County. So I've known Josh for 3 years as well. So I have, like I said, it's like a family down there. I have a lot of familiarity with them. So there's a comfort, a little bit of a comfort going in with that. So,
well, I'd say that's going to be a smooth transition then.
We hope.
Well, Coach, let me ask you this. You know, with the rule, the way it's set up now, are you going to try to have spring, or are you going to do a early fall camp like they allow now? What are you going to try to do?
Well, that's in flux. If I can get down there and hit the ground running, we're going to have spring. Currently have a spring game scheduled at New Brockton with Coach Zach Holmes and the Gamecocks. If for whatever reason, you know, that doesn't pan out, then I do like the fact that we would be able to start, you know, fall practice a week early. Go ahead and get in the shorts for 3 days or 2 days, get in shells and those type things, get those out of the way and get ready, because we do have a week zero opponent at Floralla.
Okay. You know, Coach, one thing, I don't know how you feel about spring at some of the smaller schools where you got some young kids coming up that had never played before. I always thought spring was kind of important. At some of the larger schools, I really thought it was kind of a waste of time. You kind of knew who could play and who couldn't. Mm-hmm. But coming into a new school, I know you're familiar with it, and familiar with the kids. But, there's a big difference in those kids from when they were seventh graders and you knew them and they're juniors now.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. They've matured a lot in that time. So,
well, I know that, you know, Zion's been competitive the past couple of years. You know, the optimism there, you know, you want to say, hey, we're going to set up, hey, we're going to make the playoffs, we're going to win this many games, whatever. I mean, you don't know that.
No, you never know.
I mean, that's everybody's goal. You know, everybody wants to win. You know, with Mitch,
everybody's doing great in August.
That's right. Everybody's undefeated. But, you know, with the kids that you do know coming back, is there a good nucleus from last year's team?
Yes. They only lost four seniors. You know, one of them was a really good offensive and defensive lineman. He did miss some time with some injuries. You know, like I said, I knew all those cats. So missing a guy that's been playing that I've known since seventh grade, and Zay Adair and some of those guys. But losing one offensive lineman and only four seniors. So, you know, like you said, I mean, they've played more competitive football. Coach Bryant's done a good job there. You know, in 18, when I was still there, we went 5-5. And then 19, my first year at Russell County, he was actually able to go 6-5 and make the playoffs. He ran into Real Town, who played for the state championship that year, so he had to go to Real Town.
I think that's the year I wanted to nominate him for Coach of the Year.
Man, he probably should have got it. You know, there's some places where folks will win three games and they do a lot better coaching job than a guy that wins 15. So, that is what it is. You know, in high school, we don't recruit. We're not allowed to recruit. We're not supposed to recruit, I should say. But and it's one of those deals where you play with what you got. And So right there, you know, in Jack, you play with the communities that are surrounding Jack, Alabama, and the kids from Jack. So you're playing with the kids from, you know, from Victoria, you know, from down the road, you know, in Jack. There's a handful of small communities that are kind of unincorporated deals in the state. And, I mean, those are the kids you got. You got the kids in Coffee County.
Okay. One thing, though, I got the chance to see them play last year. I can't even remember who it was. But the one thing I noticed that I thought Coach Bryant had done was he had gotten those kids to believe that they were in every game. He got their mindset so that they thought that when they took the field, they had a chance to win every game. You know, that's something I not say anything negative about the kids in Jack, but that's a little different attitude than they had had in years gone by.
Yes, sir. Well, I think, you know, if you give kids good things to believe in, you know, they're going to believe. You know, they want to be led. So at the end of the day, he did a really good job with that. You know, the mentality of this is what I saw. This was my experience when I got out there. Things were kind of rec league-ish in a way, and now it's an actual football program. You know, the weight room is there. They've been lifting weights since Randy got there, I know for sure. I ran the weight room for the 2 years that I was there. Kids got stronger, you know. And so the program, like I said, and I've said this before in a couple interviews this past week, you know, it's on stable financial footing. You know, the uniform situation is fantastic. They have a contract with BSN. So there's been a lot of things that's kind of been brought to, you know, brought to the, I guess you'd say, 21st century in a way, where, and that's not speaking negatively about anything, you know, some places that are small schools have a small school mentality. And I think at a place like Zion, you use small to be in, you know, to your advantage. And at the same time, you have a big time mentality. You want to give kids a big time experience. And at the same time, do things at the highest level that you can. And I know Coach Gooden was talking about wins and all those type things earlier. And there's nothing ever guaranteed in athletics, especially small school. You know, you're an injury or two away from potentially, you know, not being near, you know, going from 5-5 to 2-3, or from 8-2 to 5-5, and those type things. But you're also, you know, right there. Where if that happens to a different team or something of that nature, you know, I mean, you're right there on the potential, you know, having the potential to be in the playoffs and be special, you know. I think you have to have small goals. The last couple of years, it's kind of been 1-9. So you want to get back to that 500 area. Eventually, you know, you want to keep getting more competitive in your region. You obviously want to get into the playoffs. And then eventually, you know, 5-6 years down the road, you want to be hosting playoff games. You know, and like you said, in August, everybody's thinking they're going to win a state championship. Well, coaches, whether it's at Zion Chapel, whether it's at Barber County, whether it's at Russell County, whether it's, you know, at Pike Road, you know, we all come in with good plans. I think, you know, high school football coaching in Alabama is the best in the country. So, you know, it's about, you know, some of the breaks you're going to get throughout the school year in the football season. I mean, I've never known too many guys, even at elite programs, that are going to win state championships without the ball going their way sometimes.
Well, I know one thing, Coach, that you got there is support.
Yes, sir.
When they flip the lights on Friday night, you can guarantee a sellout at a home game, no matter who's playing.
They travel well.
Yeah, and they travel well. That's not just in football. That's just – and I believe in all their sports.
Yes,
sir. That you've got a good community-based support. From what I understand, you got a good administration. And you know, to have successful programs, all that kind of fits into place.
Yes,
I think also your staff that you're going to have there, haven't they all been together for at least 2 years?
Yes, sir. They've been there. Like I said, O'Neill went in the year I was leaving. I think Foster, Adam Foster, who's the head baseball coach, and his brother Alan, and all those guys really have been there basically since I left. They came in when I was headed out, and have done a good job in their respective sports. You know, basketball, I think varsity basketball was 17-10 this year. JV basketball was like 22-1, something like that. And, the baseball team beat Brantley last night. So I'm following all. They're having a good baseball season. They play in a region with Long and Ayrton. So, you know, they're going to have some
reason right there.
Yeah, they're going to have some breaks, you know, and it's the same type thing. Those kids have to go in and just compete, you know, and I think Randy would preach that. And, you know, I never went into a game, whether it was at Charles Henderson or when I was at Dadeville and one year, you know, and we won a ton of games. I've never went into a game thinking we didn't have a chance, you know, and I think the kids have to understand that we're going to put them in the best position to succeed. And if they execute and do the things that their coach should do and we ask them to do, then they're going to give themselves an opportunity to win.
Coach, I think you said something key right there. And that is giving them a chance to compete. And I think that's what I saw with the kids at Zion Chapel when I went and saw them. They were competing, and they were enjoying competing. And, you know, that's a learned skill.
Yes, sir.
And, I think you're coming into a really good situation. I think they're a diamond in the rough.
I agree.
And,
familiarity of everything. I mean, I think, and I hope it does for you, Coach, that everything's going to line up. You know, they say that everything lines up, and everything's just perfect, and, you know, y'all going to have a successful season. And,
yes,
you know,
sir.
Whatever success, how you measure success, you know, is, and that's your number one goal. Right? Right. And, you know, we appreciate you tonight
yes,
sharing with us.
Absolutely.
And your time. I know having you thinking about where you're at and you thinking about where you need to be.
Yes, sir.
And then you got all those other things with kids and stuff. You know, we was talking about where folks don't understand that coaches are regular people just like everybody else.
Yes, sir.
We got to go fill up the gas pump, you know, with $5,000 worth of gas, you know. To get everybody around the next day. We got to go make sure the kids' lunch boxes are packed, you know. And a lot of folks don't understand that, but thank you.
Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man.
Thank you for your time. But before we go, we always do this thing, especially for new guys. It's called Third and Three. We're going to ask you just three off-the-wall questions.
Okay.
I'm game.
I know you promoted the show as New Blood, so let's get it.
Yeah, we got New Blood in the area. And if I'd done my homework better, I could have just said pumping the same blood at a new time.
Ain't no doubt.
Coach, let me go first because I'm going to give him a softball. I'm going to give him a little softball.
I got two softballs.
Yeah. Lob one.
I got an easy one for it.
Go ahead.
All right, Coach, you're at a restaurant with your wife, got the babysitter, kids aren't there. I know that happens like once every 3 years.
That's right.
Or at least it does at my house. So you get through eating. They bring out the dessert menu. Do you go cake or pie?
Pie. I go pie, and I go anything that – one of my favorite things is that Hershey's chocolate pie that you put in the freezer, you know, and then you pull it out and let it warm up a little bit and soften up. That's one of my favorites. I like anything that's strawberry and those type things. So, you can't go wrong with pie. I'm just not a huge cake person. If I'm eating a cake for my birthday, it's got to be a cookie cake or some kind of ice cream cake. And I'm not real big on cake and ice cream.
Coach, I'm right there with you. That's a great answer. Mine's key lime. Yeah. I have a big weakness for key lime pie.
Well, I'll take whatever I can get, but I would go with pie first. That would be my answer. I got question number two, Coach.
I'm ready.
What is your... first of all, if you can tell me your age, I could probably kind of guess.
37.
Okay, I was going to say you'd be late 30s, early 40s. This might outdate you a little bit. But your favorite 80s hair band?
Man, in the 80s, I was 5 and 4.
I know you was 5, but you was probably still singing "I Give Love a Bad Name" in the shower.
Well, Metallica is not a hair band, but they're my favorite thing that came out of the 80s. Would Skid Row be considered a hair band?
Yeah, I'm trying to even think of what Skid Row sang. What, Nobody's Fool? No.
No, 18 and Life to Go. I always
Yeah, 18 and Life to Go. That was maybe the name of their album. All right, Skid Row. That's a heck of a name for a band.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
But you could throw Metallica in there. Hey, Metallica, they have some hair now.
Metallica wins then.
Yeah, Metallica. All right, here's the last one. Both Coach Ennis and I are huge wrestling fans. We grew up on the TV on the Saturday afternoons watching the Southeastern Championship Wrestling out of Dothan. And then we'd always watch Georgia Championship Wrestling. So I don't know if you grew up as a big wrestling fan, but the next question, this is third down right here, is your favorite pro wrestler?
Ooh, favorite pro wrestler. Let me preface it with this. So, you know, my dad used to be the head coach at Ashford, and I can remember when, like, WCW would come to the Civic Center there in Dothan. So I can remember going to those type things. But my favorite pro wrestler, I'm going to go Sting. You know, he was part of a good duo, good tag team during that time. That one hurts. What'd you say?
No, that's hurt. We had never had a coach say Sting.
Sting.
We've never had one say Sting.
Yeah. Now, if you said John Cena, I was going to cut you off.
Oh, no. Well, I'm a faith bank guy. You know, you might ride down to Jack on a Friday night, and I might have some things some here paint. And there, you know, so.
Well, I can't wait to see that, Coach. Well, listen, hey, we appreciate it. You know, we're all in good fun. Wish your program well.
Thank you.
Good luck, Coach.
And anytime that we can help promote you and your program, we're here for you. But thank you and good evening.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, coaches.
Shut your mouth and lift the weight.
Hey, send us some stuff on some of your players and we'll get it posted.
Yes, sir. I'll do that.
Hey, Coach Cody Keene right there, the Zion Chapel Rebels. I tell you, I was not prepared like I usually am, Coach. I didn't realize he was as a familiar face around there as he's going to be.
Well, I knew he had been there before.
I didn't realize. Well, let me preface that. I knew he'd been there before, but I didn't realize it was this close before.
Yeah,
right now.
I knew he had been there before. I think he's going to be a great fit for there. You know, Zion Chapel historically has struggled, to say the least. But I think Coach Bryant got him headed in the right direction, and I think Cody can come in and continue what Coach Bryant had started. And hopefully keep building the program. You know, it's going to be tough to come in behind Coach Bryant, though. You know, I didn't you tell me that he was like Paul Bear Bryant's?
I never said that, Coach.
Something like that.
We can say that. There's his third nephew removed.
Yeah, something like that.
No, but I did not.
I thought they were related.
They might be, but I did not say it.
I think somebody may have.
You know, well.
Might have been Coach Taylor that told me. I can't remember.
Well, it was not me. But, you know, they always, you know, like you said, want to be competitive. And hopefully
I know who it was. I know who told.
No, well, you ain't got to, unless you want to.
No, well, I mean, it doesn't matter, but I think it was a principal that had interviewed him. I think it was my. I think it was Coach Brown up at McKenzie that told me that he was that Coach Bryant was kin to.
Well,
I'm not sure, but
well, Coach, let's take. I'm gonna do something a little different tonight before we move into our next segment. Let's take just a quick break right here. See if you can see this on your end. Something we're gonna.
I need to put glasses on.
Yeah, just see how this looks right here.
Let's go, Bulldogs! Let's go, guys! Let's go!
Hey, what do you think about that, Coach?
What was that?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
We could actually put clips of games up on during our show. That was a clip sent to me during the season between Kinston and Sampson when Kale Sumlin threw that touchdown pass. Now, I'm going to.
I will say this. They all look like bobbleheads.
It's because he sent it to me in the vertical fashion.
Uh-huh.
Instead of horizontal.
All look like little bobbleheads.
Hold on. I know where you're going with that. All right, I'm going to play that clip again. Okay? I want you to focus on nothing but the coach in the blue pullover on the sideline doing his machine gun.
That's all I could see anyway.
Okay. Doing the machine gun. Because I want to hear your thoughts on that. Let me show it again.
Let's go, Bulldogs! Let's go, guys!
What was he doing?
I don't know, but it looked like an egg with toothpicks. Like an Easter egg with toothpicks. Did you see that?
Well, he had the laser guns or the something. He had them smoking out there, Coach.
But it did. It looked like I thought it was Humpty Dumpty.
Well, if folks want to send clips, we can now put clips up, but we ask that you
make sure they send them the right way.
Yeah.
That looked, I couldn't even watch it. I couldn't even watch the kids. All I could see was little Humpty Dumpty running around.
It was like a I'm telling you,
I was looking for a clown car to pull up and all the coaches start bailing in.
Well, they couldn't have got in there because Humpty Dumpty would have had the door locked up. But,
talking about coaches, though, hey, do you remember when we were having a staff meeting one time?
I probably do
remember. And we were discussing different defenses to get in. And one of the coaches that was a paid football assistant coach, this guy was getting a check to be a football coach. And he told me I had drawn up the 3-3 stack.
Yep, I remember this.
And he told me that he didn't think we ought to run the 3-3 stack, that he thought we should run the 5-3.
All right, let me back up and add, because every time you had a meeting that you'd throw something out there, if somebody disagreed, everybody had a chance to say, hey, I don't know, we don't need to do that. But your rule was, it better be, give me a good reason why.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's
right. Which is common sense, makes sense,
And there's a lot of times y'all would come up with something and I'd go, hey, let's try that, see how it works. Let's come back and talk about it in a week.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, I learned that from Coach Jamie Riggs. But this coach said, no, I don't think we need to run the 3-3 stack, which is five defensive linemen and three linebackers. We needed to run the 5-3, which is five defensive linemen and three linebackers. And I asked him, remember I asked him, I said, what is the difference between the 3-3 stack and the 5-3?
I remember that question.
He mustered up all the intelligence and football knowledge that he had and said, the nose guard. And I said, what's the difference in the nose guard in a 3-3 stack and a 5-3? And he said, do you remember what he said?
Go ahead.
He said, where he lines up, that in a 5-3, he lines up, head up the center.
Yep.
And I said, well, in a 3-3 stack, where does he line up? And he said, head up the center. At which point in time, I dropped the dry erase marker. I think I told him to get out, didn't I? I can't remember. But I think I told him to get out. And you know, the funny thing about it, he's still coaching today. He's still getting paid today at a school. There's a school that he's stealing money from.
Yeah, well, that was, I sat there, I think, with my mouth open, you know, with going, I can't believe he just said that.
You're listening to Stan and the Coach on the Power Prep Sports Network.
Well, Coach, not to get into politics tonight, but I don't know about you, but my wallet's getting thinner after going to the gas pumps and just how it affects us. We know because we've coached for a number of years and we've had to fill out travel forms and bus requests, and most schools, especially small schools, have to budget in their travel for that season. You kind of do that when you make out your schedules. You know, diesel fuel is what goes in those yellow buses that goes from school to school. And it is getting rather expensive, and I don't see it going back down for quite some time.
Dan, I'm going to say this. I talked to a transportation director at one of our schools that we cover. And he told me that as of Monday, that they were $75,000 in the hole on their fuel bill for buses.
And that's not just athletics. That's probably the overall transportation.
He's the transportation director. He's the director for athletics, for the daily routes, for any field trips to school. He handles all the transportation. And he told me they were $75,000 in the hole as of Monday.
Well, Coach, you know, you look at this, especially small schools on those small-time budgets, when they especially in the spring, a softball team going somewhere, baseball maybe going somewhere, if they have track or golf or anything like that, you may be up to 3 or 4 different teams leaving in one day on going in 4 different directions. And they just, as an overall athletic program, they're not going to be able to keep doing that.
I don't remember this. My mother taught at a county school for 27 years, and she said that she can remember a time that they actually cut out extracurricular travel from the school because of, and I think this was probably in the, when they had the gas shortage and the gas lines. What was that in the late 70s?
I'd say 70s.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I can't remember yesterday. But I don't know how these smaller schools are going to be able to compensate for the fuel prices that the way they are right now, because every year schools budget for the upcoming year. And I don't think that anybody could comprehend that through political moves that gas and diesel fuel would have gone up like it has. And it's going to continue.
Yeah, well, what's the answer? What do you think is going to happen? I mean, it just, for example, Zion Chapel, they're not going to continue to be able to, unless they're asking the kids to pay a bus fee, and heck, they're doing that just getting to school.
Well, I don't know how they're going to do it. I will say that I know of one school that last Friday had a golf match out of town. They had to travel on a bus because, state law requires you to take a bus. I don't care if it's one player. You got to transport them on a bus. But they had a golf match that was out of town, about 2 hours away. They had a softball game that was about an hour away. They had a baseball game that was about 3 hours away. They had a track meet that was close to an hour away. And they had a JV baseball game that was 2 hours away. They had 5 buses going at least an hour. So, I mean, you're looking at 2 hours there and back. Those buses don't get great gas mileage. Most of them get around 6 miles to the gallon. I can't imagine what the bill for that was, to have 5 separate sports going away for games. And, Stan, I don't know what the answer is. It's going to be hard to ask these parents to help foot the bill for fuel when they're having to foot the bill for fuel to go there and watch their children.
Right. It's gotten out of hand, and, it ain't good. That's all I know. And I don't know I think I know what the answer would be, but I'm not going to saying you know what the answer would be, but it's we got to go with what we got, just like what Coach King's talking about. You got to play with the players he's got. Well, we might have to not schedule as many ball games in the spring.
The sad part is,
it hurts the kids,
right? I mean, you're taking away from the student athlete who is a special type person anyway. You know, any student athlete, you know, they're a student first and an athlete second. But the time that they put into their sports, I don't care what sport it is, the time they put into their sport to be able to perfect it and be able to compete in that sport, and then because of policies, we're going to come in and tell them, yeah, we know you've worked, you know, since you're in the seventh grade and you're a senior now, but, you know, we're not going to be able to have your sport.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that could happen too, just cut out a sport altogether.
Yeah.
And,
and the problem with that is if you start picking and choosing what sports you're going to cut out, then, you know, look, we're football. We both love football. We both coach football. We are football people. But it's not fair to tell that kid that's on the golf team that we're going to cut golf and then load up the football team in the fall and send them 3 hours away.
Right. And even the soccer team, coach. You wouldn't do that to the soccer team.
I might do that to the soccer team.
But you're right.
I'd probably do that. I'd do that to the soccer team. But,
no, you wouldn't.
If I had the chance, I would. But I probably shouldn't have said that. But that was not the first time. But, you know, Stan, I don't know what the answer is. You know, I guess we all need to go outside around the baseball fields and the softball fields and the football fields and start planting money trees so we can go out there and pick the bills off so we can get gas money to take these kids that's been working so hard to be able to go compete.
Come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Well, you know, we don't have the answers, but it's going to get, as they say, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I hate to say that, but I'm afraid that's the way this is going to, what way this is going to roll. But I'll tell you what I did look, just for a personal things on gas. Coach, I looked up, trying to find me a used scooter today. You know what I'm talking about?
If you get a scooter, the first day you drive it to work, I'm riding behind you.
I'm not talking about the one you stand on.
I just want to see the looks of the drivers going by.
I'm not talking about the kind you stand on. I'm talking about sit like an old moped scooter type deal.
Oh, I thought you was talking about like one of them Indian scooters. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm talking about like the old moped. You know, just like a motorcycle.
You gonna get one of them little helmets that goes on your head that looks
If I got a helmet, I'm getting one where you can't see my face.
It ain't your face. Everybody's going to be laughing at
you. I know. Look at fat man on that moped. But because usually they have in their tank can hold a gallon and a half, and they get around 120 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, but how fast do they go? You'd have to leave at like 4:30 in the morning.
Well, if it was one of those mopeds that had the pedals, I could get some exercise in too and pedal most of the way.
Again, you're going to have to leave at like 4:30 in the morning.
Well, I got it
9 miles.
It'd probably take me an hour to get to school. So, get to work. And it'd probably be fun first couple of days till somebody put me in a ditch.
You know, Coach, I'm gonna tell you this. When I first started coaching at Strawn back in 92, I think it was, with Coach Taylor, I was renting a house in Andalusia. And I decided that it would be great on the days that we had workouts for me to ride my bicycle to Strawn. I just leave, you know, it'd be good exercise. I was a lot younger then. Thought, I'm just going to ride my bicycle to Strawn.
How many days that last?
Well, that's what I'm telling you. I got on my bike, and Trent and I rode to work together. I'd go by and pick him up some mornings. He'd come by and pick me up. Well, I told him, I'm going to ride my bike. So he said, okay. So I was renting a house over there close to the hospital. I leave there.
That's a little trip right there.
Yeah. I leave going to Strawn. And I ride all the way to Strawn. We had workouts that morning at 8 o'clock. I get there at like 7:45. Trent was mad at me because I was late. But I get there at like 7:45. I come wobbling in. I can't hardly stand up. I get in the weight room and lay down on the floor and start putting off ice packs on my legs. I did nothing that morning but lay there on the ground with ice packs on my legs. The kids come in, work out, they leave. We Trent looks at me and I said, I need to put my bicycle in he had a Suzuki Samurai. I need to put my bicycle in your Samurai and you take me home. And he wouldn't do it. He made me ride back home. I stayed there at the school till 4:30 that afternoon before I got back on that bicycle and rode it home.
It looked like you'd been riding a horse.
I don't think I've been on a bicycle since then.
Well, let me ask this: that day that you rode that bike, did you have a nice cushion seat, like a big
one? It was one of them old timey 10-speeds that had that little seat. It looked like a triangle.
Looked like an ashtray.
It was horrible.
Yeah, I bet it felt like you blew out most of your blood.
Trent was mad at me because I got there late and he wouldn't even take me home.
Yeah, I feel like he blew out both your quads.
I thought I'd died.
Oh, you may have even got chafed a little bit.
Look, I looked like I had the mum, but it was bad.
Well, Coach, has anybody sent you a pipe yet?
No.
Well, I learned one thing today, that hashtag is not a thing anymore. You don't even have to put hashtag out there on the social media. It picks up just keywords now, but I'm still going to go with the hashtag.
I think so. You talking about that pound sign?
Yeah, the pound sign. Bring back the pipe.
You know, I will say this. I was watching a documentary on the Korean War. And the professor that was, I need to put a link up to it. The professor that was talking about the Korean War had a pipe sitting on his desk. And a little whiff of smoke was coming up off that pipe as he was talking. And I thought, you know, that's the persona I need to give.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a little... make it look like you're in a little jazz club there at your place.
Smoke. But I mean, that's the persona I need to give out. I was impressed.
Well, Coach, that's going to wrap us up, man. That's one in a row again. Yeah, Coach Cody King from Zion Chapel. I think big things are in store for those folks there. Transportation is going to be an issue. I'm glad I don't have to have the be the one that figures out how that's going to work out for everybody.
These people that have that responsibility as transportation director for these schools, and every school has one. And every school system has one. That's got to be the job that everybody's got. You know, everybody used to want to be the transportation director. You know, that was the job everybody got waiting on retirement.
Yeah.
I would think that right now, you know, I don't think they could pay me enough to be the transportation director for
that's what she said.
Well, no, I'll have to agree. Coach, one in a row.
We did it.
We're going to do it again next week if all possible. Hopefully have another guest on. We are somewhere down the line. We're going to start spotlighting assistant football coaches.
Coach, I told you who I wanted to get.
I know you want. I won't want to throw any names out there right now, but if you're listening and you want to, if you're a head coach or fans out there and you want to know more about some of the assistants on your team staff, drop us an email and we'll make contact and see if we can get them on here. Because I know
emails.
We can. We rarely get them now, but that's at powerprepsports@gmail.com.
We have an email address?
We have an email address.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And then you can also watch us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, Coach. I looked at last week's views on YouTube. I think we had one person watch us.
That's hard.
But we had quite a few more on the other two. So right now we're pushing around 1,000 folks a week. So that's pretty good for two guys that don't know what they're doing half the time.
I was going up that about 75% of the time.
Okay. Well, three quarters.
Talking to beautiful Miss Olivia, it's 99% of the time. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I know how that is at my house too. But I'll give her a shout out just for you before we go off. I know this is the thing you like to use right here. And we'll end it on that. One in a row. This is Stan for Coach Greg Innes. For Stan the Coach, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Stan and the Coach on the Power Prep Sports Network.